Welcome to Benefit from the Bible, the Bible teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. God bless your listening.
In the name of Jesus,
amen.
So I say, for the sake of all present here today, a printed copy of my sermon notes have been put into your hands so you can better follow the difficult data and Bible texts leading to sound scriptural conclusions. Please follow along. In the name of the second person of the great ETT, the extraterrestrial Trinity, greetings to all of you faith-filled former aliens who have been redeemed by the blood of Him who entered our terrestrial sphere in order to save us. Amen. As today's sermon title indicates, we aim to deal with the topic of space aliens. Before I state the whole sermon title, let me relate a few alien views that are being espoused on our earth today. You can find some of these first quotes and much more if you Google Lucifer Telescope and then click on the link Lucifer Project. The article authors, Tom Horn and Chris Putnam, have to be taken with a grain of salt since they are off the wall in some of their alien theories, but right on in some of their other reporting. Here's how they start their article. The acronym Lucifer stands for Large Binocular Telescope Near Infrared Utility with Camera and Integral Field Unit for Extragalactic Research. Wow, that's a mouthful. It is a chilled instrument attached to a telescope in Arizona. And yes, it's named for the devil, whose name itself means morning star, and which happens to be right next to the Vatican Observatory on Mount Graham in Tucson. So that the Vatican doesn't get blamed for everything, it was named Lucifer by German astronomers. For a moment, let's learn about Guy Consolmagno, a leading Jesuit astronomer who often turns up in the media as a spokesman for the Vatican, who has worked at NASA, taught at Harvard, and MIT, and who currently splits his time between the Vatican Observatory and Laboratory, headquartered at the summer residence of the Pope in Italy, and Mount Graham in Arizona. He admits how contemporary societies will soon look to the aliens to be the saviors of humankind. To illustrate the theological soundness of this possibility, Consolmagno argues that humans are not the only intelligent beings God created in the universe. And he says these non-human life forms are described in the Bible. He starts by pointing to angels, then surprises us by actually referencing the Nephilim. Consolmagno says, and these are not the only non-human intelligent creatures mentioned in the Bible. There's that odd and mysterious passage at the beginning of Genesis chapter 6, one of our texts tonight, that describes the sons of God taking human wives. With it is a frustratingly oblique reference to the Nephilim, the heroes that were of old, warriors of renown. But whether you interpret these creatures as angels or aliens doesn't really matter for the sake of our argument here. The point is that ancient writers of the Bible, like all ancient peoples, were perfectly happy with the possibility that other intelligent beings could exist. End quote by Consolmagno, Vatican spokesman and astronomer. Horn and Putnam challenge readers by saying, Read that again. Then ask yourself, did the Vatican's top astronomer actually mean to use the story of the Nephilim from the Bible as an example of a kind of space saviors man could soon look to for salvation? This incredible assertion is only topped by what he says next. In quoting John 10:16, where Jesus says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring," that would be like aliens, "and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd," the Jesuit Consul Magno writes. Perhaps it is not so far-fetched to see the second person of the Trinity, the Word, who was present in the beginning, coming down to lay his life down and take it up again, not only as the Son of Man, but also as a child of other races. Do Vatican scholars actually believe Jesus might have been the star child of an alien race? Does Consul Magno and or other Jesuits secretly hold that the virgin birth was in reality an abduction scenario in which Mary was impregnated by an ET, an extraterrestrial, giving birth to the hybrid Jesus? As incredible as that sounds, you should prepare for the unexpected answer as the series unfolds. Horn and Putnam continue. All this would seem impossible theology if not for the fact that other high-ranking Vatican spokespersons, those who routinely study from the star base, that's what the local Indians of Arizona call it, study on Mount Graham, what they have been saying in recent years, namely the same thing as Consul Magno. This includes Dr. Christopher Corbly, Vice Director for the Vatican Observatory Research Group on Mount Graham. He was there until 2012. And he believes our image of God will have to change if the disclosure of alien life is soon revealed by scientists, including the need to evolve from the concept of an anthropocentric, that means a man-centered God, into a broader entity that is the God of aliens also. And the current Vatican Observatory Director, Father Jose Finis, who has gone equally far, suggesting that alien life not only exists in the universe and is our brother, but when manifested, will confirm the true faith of Christianity and the dominion of Rome. Let me add these cushion comments. It is difficult to know everything going on in the minds of these Jesuit astronomers, who, like other Jesuit scholars, consistently deny biblical inerrancy. Yet they confess that Jesus is still the key alien in their thinking, though Funes himself believes in the Big Bang Theory, which all complicates the Jesuit view of Jesus as creator, which leaves much to be desired if Jesus is just an evolutionary product, like you and me, they would say. As for Horn and Putnam, they are flaming millennialists who are predicting that the Large Hadron Collider, or particle divider, called CERN, because it's located in CERN, Switzerland, will open a Nephilim stargate, an opening or portal that will release the immortals through the vortex. That is, it will release Apollyon, the destroyer mentioned in the book of Revelation, and those are the demons or the watchers who will hasten the rapture and set off the great tribulation and the rise of the Antichrist and the battle of Armageddon, which was supposed to happen today on September 28th. And then there's John Hagee, pastor of a large San Antonio church, being famous for his borrowed four blood moons theory, who warns about the fourth blood moon coming yesterday, on September 28th today, maybe the time of the rapture. Some other daters also predicted the end of the world for last Wednesday, September 23rd, which was the Shemata, or the Jubilee year of the Jews. Are any of your friends missing this week? Have they been raptured? And have you been left behind? Of course, in the wave of the likes of Lindsay, Missler, LaHaye, and the now deceased Harold Camping, Hagee hedges his bets so he can hold on to his gullible and unsuspecting congregational sheep. You will remember that Jesus, in some of his last words on this earth, said to his disciples, "It is not for you to know the times and the seasons which God has put in your hand." And yet, there are those who think they know better. I call them apocalyptic prophets. You see the way I spelled that there? Don't spell like the regular word prophet, those who talk for God. They are the apocalyptic prophets because they make tons of money selling books laced with fear tactics and truth. And when you go and Google various things on this entire topic, the first link is always about you better send your money in and buy food and water so you can survive during the invasion. However, as people of 2015, maybe we ought to be more worried about a Muslim world takeover than blood moons and an invasion of aliens from other worlds. Now, sorry if some of you are out of touch with what I am saying, with what is controlling modern prophecy literature in Christian bookstores, on the internet, and on YouTube, most of it being absolute fantasy and false teaching. You see, here's the problem in the church today. We have the older dudes like myself and the younger ones who are into technology, and it's hard to bring the two groups together when you're dealing with all of these things. But for us that are older, we have to make sure that we speak to the younger so they know what is out there and trying to mislead them. At this time, though, we cannot afford to be ostriches with our theological heads in the sand. So I ask you, have you become aware from radio and TV that Pope Francis recently said that he would baptize any alien Martians that make contact with our planet? The point is this. 1 Peter 3:15 commands Christians to always be ready to answer any kooks, anyone who raises theories contrary to scriptural truth. So we travel on to educate everyone who cares enough to stay updated. And remember what Hosea 4:6 says. Ignorance, lack of knowledge, stupidity ruins my people. That's what God says. Now, added to all these speculations, we note that Stephen Hawking, the very famous scientist, is worried that aliens might despise us when they come, while the snitch Snowden says that we are currently deaf to aliens who are trying to contact planet Earth. And the billionaire Milner has donated $100 million for extraterrestrial research. You know, I've heard of girls gone wild, but this is scientists gone crazy. In an article by Lisa Haven, dated as recently as August 6, 2015, entitled "NASA's Revolutionary Discovery Hastens Pope to Ignite His Alien Welcome Party as he prepares for the new world order. Now, you have to be alert to know what that is all about. If you know the Bible, you know someone tried to do a new world order after the flood. His name? Well, he's the one who built the Tower of Babel, Nimrod. The first United Nations building, if you will. And what are they looking for today? One world government, which God would definitely be against, because he knows one world government would snuff out his church. Back in June, this is what Lisa now says. Back in June, NASA made a stunning announcement that they have discovered an Earth-like planet that they named Kepler-452b, and they believe it to be the home to intelligent life. Now remember, this is a discovery outside our Milky Way. With this new announcement, the Vatican has announced that the church is ready and preparing to welcome alien life into the Christian faith. Considering they already divulged their plans to baptize aliens, could they be preparing for something headed our way? Not to mention the fact that recently the Pope proclaimed his readiness to usher in a new world order, end Lisa's quote. Not to worry, though. It will only take our spaceships at current speeds millions of years to reach Kepler-452b, since it's 1,400 light years away. Bet you Jesus will return before them. But maybe the aliens can travel faster. On the even more fanciful side, Newsweek magazine has declared that aliens are enormous in size, and cosmologist Fergus Simpson says that they weigh about 650 pounds. Where do these guys come up with all this stuff? And of course, there's the Hillary hypothesis, that since she was born on October 10, 1947, she might be an alien, a phenomenon made possible by a drop-off in Roswell in July of that same year. Though highly criticized, Ken Ham of the Creation Museum on the other side of the space spectrum says that all aliens will go to hell because Jesus did not shed his blood for them. Doesn't mean he believes in them. Well, what are we to say of all this? Let's dive right in. And so we take a look at our sermon title this night. Space Aliens, Human Hybrid. Now, hybrid in this terminology would be angels having sexual relations with people, and that there are some people walking around who are half demon and half human. That's the hybrid that we're talking about. Spiritual strangers. Do they exist? Are they living among us? Are they just ETs? You remember that little guy, ET, from the movies years ago? Extraterrestrial is what it means. Are they just extraterrestrials or HDTs, hybrid demon terrestrials? No. Yet really they are demon extraterrestrials. And are there also holy ones, holy angels sent by the great ETT, the extraterrestrial trinity? Well, we start with a leading question. Are we a privileged planet? The Bible would say yes. Do you notice that after God reports what he did on each of the 6 days, all attention turns to the earth and to people? For you see, our catechism is very clear when it says that God's greatest visible creation was man, who he placed on earth. And his greatest invisible creation was the spirit world, that which was invisible, greater than gravity, greater than air. The angels are his greatest invisible creation. Man, his greatest invisible or visible creation. Now, the Bible, as I said, centers on the earth. If you will watch the creation story, it's interesting on day four that God made the greater light and the lesser light, the sun and the moon, and then comes Moses' little phrase, and the stars too. Whoa, like, oh, they weren't even important, they're an afterthought. You see, the reason the Bible does that is because by Moses' time, there were many who were worshiping the moon and the sun and the stars and the universe, outer space, more than what they were worshiping the God who is from another world, who entered our world through Jesus in order to save us. Now, what else God has going on in this universe and beyond our Milky Way galaxy is none of our business. We'll leave that to Him, because anything we come up with would be, at best, speculation. But what we do need to do is center on our salvation, on sin, on forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, on heaven where we hope to live forever and ever. But then there's the Pope, Pope Francis. What did he say a few days ago? Oh, he said, man's greatest problem is climate change. Could have fooled me. I thought our biggest problem was sin. Now, let's hope he was talking about a big physical problem, but I can imagine a lot more physical problems of this world than climate change. But this is the world in which you and I live, and I need to take you into a few Bible passages in order to show you what's going on out there in the biblical interpretation world. Let's start with Genesis 6. When the people on earth, and by the way, this is Noah's time now, time for the flood. When the people on earth were getting numerous, big population, and they had daughters, the sons of God saw how beautiful the daughters of men were, and they married the women they liked best. Now you see the interpretation that is given by many as they read fanciful things in the scriptures. They say, the sons of God are the angels, and they came down and married human women and produced hybrid demon-like humans. That's their interpretation. But you remember Jesus said that in heaven, the angels neither marry nor are they given in marriage. And besides that, they are spirits. They do not have the physical parts in order to have sexual relations with human beings. Or did they invade men, like Satan came into the snake and then had sexual relations with the women, and out popped little demons, half-human hybrids? Then the Lord said, my spirit will not forever struggle with people for what is right, because they are flesh. That means they are sinful. I don't know if you've ever read the passage. I don't think most people even realize it exists. It's the last two verses of John 2, after Jesus has turned water into wine. It says Jesus was with the crowds, and he did not take them into his confidence because he knew what people were like. They were sinful. You remember that man that came to Jesus and said, good teacher, and Jesus said, why do you call me good? Only God is good, implying all humans are not good and need forgiveness and need a savior. But he said they'll still have 120 years. What does that mean? Well, it took Noah 120 years to build that ark, and during that time, he was a preacher of righteousness. We hear from Hebrews chapter 11, he preached the gospel and the law from the deck of the boat during those years, calling the people to repentance. Of course, how many repented? Not many. In those days, the author goes on, Moses says as well as later, there were tyrants, giants on the earth. Those are the Nephilim. That's your Hebrew word there. What does it mean? Oh, they say it means giants, great big tall guys. Sometime you might get that from Numbers, where the 12 spies went into Canaan and they came back and said, we felt like grasshoppers. They are Nephilim. Does that mean they were real tall? I'm going to tell you, if you went into an NFL locker room, you would not need a 9-foot person to feel like you were a grasshopper when you see how big those guys are. And remember what the Lord Jesus said? In the days when I come back, it will be like the days of Noah. Well, there are giants around. We even call them giants of industry. People who control other people with money. These were powerful people. In fact, the word in the Hebrew probably means to fall upon or to attack. It was an age of violence. Wow, does that tie in with Jesus saying, I'll come back in days that are like Noah's day? If his day was a violent day, we can certainly say we know violence today. It used to be like every month we'd hear of some great tragedy. Today, it's like every day we hear somebody shooting up a mall, bombing somebody, shooting in a schoolroom, cutting off a head somewhere with terrorism. It is a violent world in which you live. Well, it was in those type of days when the sons of God, and remember, they're going to say these are angels, had sexual intercourse with the daughters of men, and they had children. These were the heroes, these Nephilim, who were famous in olden days. Notice that if you read the text clearly, it doesn't say that the sexual relations between the two brought forth the Nephilim. It says they were around before, they were around after. Now, if they were around after, how could they be? Because everybody was killed that was outside the ark, except for Noah and his family, 8 people. You have to go into the text and slowly analyze it, not dream with fanciful interpretations. And I would remind you of something. When it says that the sons of God, does that mean angels? Can it mean that the sons of God were the believers who came from Adam and Seth's line, and the daughters of men came from Cain's line, and they intermarried, and unbelief conquered the marriages, and the world went haywire? Besides that, I would remind you of this. In Genesis chapter 1, when God made the trees and everything, he said they will bear after their own kinds. Peach trees will not bring forth rhubarb, and snakes will not bring forth polar bears. Which, to break the monotony of the sermon tonight, which is so deep, let me tell you something that happened this past week that is so interesting. I know a lady who is one of these animal activists. Oh, he's going to attack that. Well, she fears if a squirrel will run out in front of the car and she would hit it. And she was lamenting, oh, the tragedy of polar bears, because the ice is melting and they don't have a place to live. And then someone mentioned to her that a polar bear can eat 18 penguins at one sitting. Ah! Now we got to make a decision. Penguins, polar bears. Penguins, polar bears. Wow. Of course, I'm upset that birds eat worms. Worms are important. I'm going to get a sign. Worms' lives matter. It is a world gone crazy out there with all their kinds of crazy interpretations. And remember, once again, Jesus said in heaven, the angels do not marry. And that includes have sexual relations, because remember why God created marriage? So that man and woman could procreate. Well, it says in those days, they had these sexual relations. And where does all this interpretation come from? Sad to say, it comes from a non-biblical book. First Enoch. And throw in the book of Jasher also that's mentioned in the Bible, which we don't know what it is, but somebody composed it. Now, I have one of my confirmation students from years ago who called me up, and he swore by the book of 1 Enoch. Now, you know, there are some extra books of the Bible called the Apocrypha. Then there are some that are farther out there called the Pseudepigrapha, the false writings. 1 Enoch is one of them. And during the intertestamental period, between the time of Malachi and Matthew, angelology became, wow, a big topic. I guess it's a big topic in our time also, isn't it? Touched by an angel, ghost whisperer, and other things like that, the spirit world. And they got all of this stuff in there about these sexual relations and everything. And this student of mine said, this is absolutely scripture, and it's much more important than a lot of other books. And it fulfills what the Apostle Paul says, many people have itching ears. They always got to have something new. They don't know much about the regular Bible, but they certainly know what they want to learn and the other things where they should be studying. Well, it goes by the board. Turn the page, please. I want to show you what Job 1:6 says. There was a day when the sons of God came to stand before the Lord. Now, the sons of God there would be angels. Sometimes angels are called sons of God. That's the holy angels. Sometimes we are called the sons of God, the children of God, believers. But it adds, and Satan also came and was among them. Well, now it doesn't call Satan a son of God there. It says he was there in heaven arguing about Job. This comes from when God's going to tempt Job and all those things going on behind the scene. You have two groups here. You have Satan and you have the holy angels. So to read that the sons of God were demons who came into women and impregnated them and made hybrid demons, that is going way beyond anything in Scripture. And listen to Ephesians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul writes, you were once dead in your trespasses and sins. He's talking to people who had now been converted in the city of Ephesus to the Christian faith. He said, formerly you led your life in those sins, following the ways of the present world and following the ruler who governs the air. Now, the devil is an angel of the air. He came falling from heaven, as Jesus said, and he now is there in order to tempt you and me. Remember, Paul says, that at that time you were without Christ, unbelievers, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, and you were aliens, that is, strangers to the covenants of the promise. So in another way, you and I were aliens, but today, believing in Jesus, we are now friends of God. And it says you had no hope, but were without God in the world that would be in this terrestrial sphere. Now there you have it. Three types of aliens. Evil angels, good angels, and our triune God himself. Well, that is minus the little green guys that come from Mars, or, those men who are from Mars and the women from Venus, you know, all that stuff that is out there. Now, unbelieving humans are aliens in God's terminology. They're separated from God by lack of faith. You and I are not separated any longer. Now, Satan and his evil angels are also aliens to God. You remember what James says. The devils know the truth of the Bible better than you and I will ever know it, and they shudder. That's what James says, because they know there's no salvation for them, because Jesus did not come to die for demons. Why? I don't know why he was generous to you and me and gave us a second chance, but he gave no second chances to the devil and to the evil angels. And of course, Jude emphasizes this also. where he says that the demons are in everlasting chains. They can never get out of them. The blood of Jesus was not shed for them, and so they cannot be saved, which explains why Ken Ham is saying, if we have these demon hybrids, they cannot be saved because Jesus didn't die for them. Well, all human beings, and this is very important, all human beings are in communication with demon aliens, and of course, demon aliens are in communication with all humans also, though only unbelievers usually don't know it. You've heard of these near-death experiences, right? Where a person dies on the operating table. For all intent and purpose, it looks like he's gone. And then they revive him, and they often come back and say, I saw the light, I went into the light. And they always assume that was God, that they were headed for heaven. But in 2 Corinthians, it says the devil appears as an angel of light. Oh, maybe they saw the wrong light. Who knows? Let them come back and be converted. I want to say a word here, because I think it's very important when you're talking about spirits and everything, to talk a little bit about demon possession. I want to tell you right now, there is not one Christian on earth who is demon possessed. If you are a Christian, you are Holy Spirit possessed. He controls you. Now, that doesn't mean that the devil won't try to tempt you and give you a hard time on the face of this earth, but he is not in control of you. And as Jesus said, no man will tear them out of my hand. Is there demon possession? Well, I would certainly think so. It was in Jesus' time. He drove demons out all the time out of people. And yes, it can be, but that doesn't mean that everybody who is maybe mentally sick is demon possessed. We will not say that at all. That can be a mental phenomenon of a different kind. These are areas where you and I cannot dare to speculate. We simply go into hospital rooms, insane asylum, go here and there, and we preach the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what our job. It isn't to look for aliens from outer space, but to deal with aliens in this world. As Jesus said, go to the nations. He didn't say go to outer space. He said go to the nations and preach the word. Well, thirdly, the Holy Trinity is an alien that came from well beyond space, who came in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and entered our space and made contact with his creation. You know how these scientists are always saying, ooh, they're going to make contact with us from Mars. Well, our God has already made contact with us, and he's still in contact with us because Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, the end of the world. And besides that, he's in constant contact with us through Scripture, where we need to be in order to learn the truth. So let's take one last look at the sermon title as we conclude. Space aliens, three types, I mentioned them. Human hybrids, no such thing. Spiritual strangers, two types. The demons and also human unbelievers. Do they exist? Yes and no. No hybrids, but yes. The others, like space aliens in the sense of God, yes. Are they living among us? Yes and no, but no hybrids. Are they just ETs? No, they're not just extraterrestrials, and they're not HDTs. They're not hybrid demon terrestrials, but they are demon extraterrestrials who are living in the air in order to tempt us. And are there also holy ones, holy angels, sent by the great ETT, the extraterrestrial Trinity? Certainly, we had them in our hymns today, and God says their angels, the angels of little children, do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. Well, some say, why is this sermon practical in a Christian setting? Well, it's very practical because our great God who is here, there, and everywhere does stay in contact with you and me through Scripture. And he keeps us in contact with him through prayer and faith. May God be in contact with you in a personal way in your faith life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, give us a try at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma, Ohio. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, study at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.